Hello, everyone. Welcome. I'm Carrie L., and this is Carrie L.'s Heartlink Show. And as I connect to as many hearts as possible, we are creating more freedom, light, and love, one interview at a time. My programs will bring you insights into the great awakening that is underway on planet Earth as we approach 2012. I'll be keeping you abreast of the latest tools available for anchoring a greater and healthier reality into your life. I'll be interviewing leading-edge experts in the metaphysical, scientific, paranormal, and spiritual realms. Stay tuned for the next hour as I speak with Patricia Corey, who has written the Syrian Revelations trilogy. And I'm all excited about speaking with Patricia because I've met her and we go way back. So back to the 90s, actually. So I'm excited about that. And just first of all, I would like to introduce myself. I'm Carrie L. And I am a coach and a counselor. And I give classes at the Heartlink Institute, as well as online. So I'd love you to find out more about what I do. Just go to my website, heartlinkinstitute.com. And we'll be having special workshops coming up. In November, we're going to have Powerful Hypnosis Secrets Revealed. And if you take that, it's a weekend workshop. And I am a hypnotherapist, and I love to share with you the secrets of hypnosis. Also, we will be doing a wonderful, exciting workshop in December, which is going to be only one day, and that's December 6th. And that will be on learning who you truly are and the Good Vibrations Blueprint. So you can do the November 1st workshop or the December 6th. And now, without further ado, let me introduce my guest, Patricia Corey. And she has she's a native of San Francisco, which is interesting. And she's living currently in Rome. And as I understand, she was just telling me that it's 1 a.m. in Rome right now. So I deeply appreciate her being on my show. And welcome, Patricia. How are you?
Thank you, Carrie. It's great to be on your show. And I'm hanging in there probably because I'm just back from Peru, so I still have jet lag. So it's working, but I'm here with you at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Well, and Peru, boy, you are a world traveler. That's exciting.
I am. I'm very dedicated to bringing people, myself included, of course, to the sacred sites on this planet, knowing that it's very urgent in a sense. I feel that we are being more and more programmed not to travel and restricted. And I think this has everything to do with the fact that certain forces do not want us to activate at these sacred sites.
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
Because I'm quite a rebel when it comes to these things.
Oh, I'm so glad. I just love rebels.
That's
and
me.
I used to lead groups to England, and slowly but surely, has become so difficult. And I'm just not going there anymore, but I am there in consciousness, and I know that we're cycling up very fast, and I know that you've written the Syrian Revelations to help introduce people to the evolutionary process that's underway on the planet and helping them to attune to these higher frequencies. And so it's important information that you've gotten out, and I must say, Patricia, I have read your latest one, The Secrets, or No More Secrets, No More Lies, and I'm so glad that I got to read that. Actually, I'm on the last couple of chapters, I must admit.
Did it shake you up a bit?
It's so wonderfully written, and I've read the other two, The Cosmos of the Soul, as well as Atlantis Rising.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of encapsulates both of them, and it's the No More Secrets, No More Lies, just is so beautifully written. But each and every one of these has been so timely. And I wonder if you could maybe just briefly, what we could start maybe talking about Cosmos of the Soul and what...
Actually,
that was way back.
The Cosmos of Soul.
Oh, I'm sorry. Cosmos...
That's okay.
See, I've been reading so much, it's I'm seeing double these days.
it's the Cosmos of Soul. It's a kind of play on words, meaning... it's hard to... at 1 o'clock in the morning, really break that down. But it's not the cosmos of the soul, but rather the soul, the cosmos that surrounds the soul. That was the intention of the title.
Mm. And it is a wake-up call. And that was back in, I think it was like 2000 that I read that. When did that come out?
Well, actually, it's been out for a while now because I started bringing that book in. As you know, these books are channeled, and it was a result of a very powerful experience I had in the Julia Set Crop Circle, which is kind of how you and I met way back then.
Yeah.
And it came out, it was channeled, I think, in 1998, and it finally came out in 2000.
Oh, okay.
So it's, it was pretty, ahead of its time, considering it's about 10 years old. And this book was dedicated kind of shaking people out of the doldrums of passivity and saying, look, here's what's happening, a precursor to some of the intense things that developed after the fated 9/11 event.
Yes.
But it was dedicated to having people look more deeply at how they perceive lives, how they live their lives, how they're plugging into all the electronic devices and all of the things that take away their power. And it was a call to wake up and take back your power.
And I remember you saying something at the end of the book about stop kneeling to authorities, and that was very powerful. That really got me thinking. And we really have been...
Yeah, in fact, it said get off of your knees to any power, any religion that mm-hmm. would hold you in obedience, and that was pretty daring at the time.
It sure was. Well,
considering let's say the swing to religious fervor that has kind of taken over the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're an evolutionary revolutionary. What can I say?
We do what we can. I want to add that I find it quite amazing that the books have now become. I'm starting to work in the Middle East. I've been asked to come. I've taught workshops there, in Dubai and in Jordan and in a Muslim country to. Dare to say get off of your knees to a religion,
mm-hmm.
I was quite surprised that they embraced the work. So we seem to be
that is
forward.
Wow. That's a very good sign.
Yes, it is.
Well, and in that book you were saying that we are all ascending. There's the sun is ascending, the whole solar system is ascending, and people are ascending. And that there
the concept is that we don't want to get hung up on the good guy, bad guy concept of who gets to ascend and who doesn't, because
mm-hmm.
this is a human nature aspect of the judgment. We never seem to get out of judgment. And the concept of the book is pretty daring in that I don't know if it was the first, but it was at least amongst the first to discuss the fact that we're not just talking about people ascending, we're not just talking about Earth. The whole sun is going to move through its own astral cords as it rises to a new dimension, and the entire solar body moves through with it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a kind of revolutionary concept, at least it was when the book first came out. It still is, I guess.
Well, yeah.
For the mainstream.
And I like the perspective that Atlantis gave, because then you gave the whole history. Wow, what an awakening that is to hear that we come from the stars and that we are this incredible, great experiment. And I'll let you go ahead and describe what that is. What is the great experiment?
Boy, that is going to be tough to describe in 25 words or less. Basically, the idea, the foundation of all of my work as a speaker for the Syrian High Council, who are beings on the sixth dimension, speaking to Earth now, describes the seeding planet Earth as the perfect, womb, the perfect breeding place for the creation of a species that was to be considered a super race of light beings in the physical dimension, in the physical density that is the third dimension. In other words, the idea was to conceive a species that walked in light body in the density, and we were designed to be that way. We were genetically engineered just like we're doing now on Earth. And one of the reasons why we're able to know this information now is because it's in our cellular memory.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been referred to as the Syrian, the Great Experiment, where many extra-dimensional and extraterrestrial forces were at hand for the very high intention of creating a super race. Whereas it seems that we are sometimes working on a very low intention now on Earth, where we're mixing genetically modifying food and animals. For what purpose, I'm not sure.
Well, you said you painted, again, the origins so beautifully, making it make more sense, at least to my mind, and explaining that there have been some negative forces, certainly, that have been sabotaging this super race's development over the years. And you talk about the Anunnaki, and I don't know if maybe we could go into that. And also, I get the sense that this is an archetype, that this is, you know, a lot of this we can't get too bogged down by, because we don't want to go into negative thinking, but that we have been playing with light and dark, for hundreds of thousands of years, and now we're just on the brink here. And can you explain, okay, the Anunnaki, who they are, and what's been happening?
Okay, first of all, I would like to preface this by saying that I really encourage people not to fear discussing the darkness, because it's part of the duality that we're in now. We don't want to stay focused on it, but fearing it empowers it. So I openly discuss these aspects, and then always preface it by saying, discussing or looking at this, as long as it is for the highest purpose, the highest good, does not hinder me in any way. So let me just preface
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. Great.
We live in this dimension, in this density. What characterizes the third dimension, the physical dimension, is extreme polarity. The nature of our existence at this level is polarity. We have two strands of DNA. They're polar. The very nature of our existence is that extreme polarity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the concept of these books, and some other authors, I think, have also taken this thread, is that we were, back to the question of being designed to be a super race, we were originally designed to hold 12 strands of light filaments of DNA in our being, in every nucleus of every cell. This was the original blueprint. If you can imagine, we can even talk about this almost like science fiction, so that we don't get the skeptics in a fluff. All right? So let's try to imagine a race or various races of different beings from different worlds, deciding they were going to create, like we are doing in our laboratories, a super hybrid race that could hold so much light and still walk in this density. And that would have made us, as far as the source of information that I get, the masters of this universe, this level of reality.
Mm-hmm.
And the Anunnaki would then be a civilization that didn't want that to occur, for reasons that are explained very well in the book, Atlantis Rising.
Mm-hmm.
very complex, too complicated to really go into at great length here, but I really do encourage people to read the book because I think it's really quite eloquently explained there. So we've got a species from another three-dimensional framework that said, no, you're not going to be doing that on planet Earth. We already own that real estate, and we're not letting any super race hold the space. And so they were able to use electromagnetic frequencies to alter the vibration on the planet and break down 10 of these strands of DNA. Hmm. In fact, if you think about it, scientists are still referring to us as having 95% of our DNA as junk. Hmm. There's nothing more comical to me than to hear that in the exquisite design of creation, 98% of our intelligence codes are considered junk, and 90% of our brain is considered gray.
Yeah, they totally
This is the question
understand.
I've been asking
yeah.
since I was a youngster.
Mm-hmm.
Many moons ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So these
well, science will eventually catch up to what's really going on.
Yeah. Well, we're seeing it playing out now because a lot of the theatrics that are going on in the power plays on this planet, I believe, are very much like the drama of this Anunnaki play on the human race.
Mm-hmm.
We see a lot of use of every kind of electromagnetic frequency distorting and changing every kind of reality, and I think this is very alien technology.
Mm-hmm. Certainly.
And the good news is...
Yeah, we can get into more of a harp and so forth in a little while, but maybe...
Yeah,
we
but
could
I'd
just,
like to close yeah. that thought with the good news, and the good news is that regardless of all of the manipulations, all of the harp, all of this stuff that's going on, more and more people are activating their DNA. This is the kind of work that I'm very involved with, but more and more people are doing incredible work in activating these filaments of light.
Mm-hmm.
And some scientists are even now saying they're beginning to be able to identify these additional filaments, because if you just think about it, if 90% of your DNA is inactive or unexplainable to the scientists, by the nature of them saying it, they are admitting it, that it's there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's good that they even know it's there.
Yeah, I mean, but we've just been told it's junk, so we know that it's there, it's scattered, it doesn't, we don't seem to know what it does, but if it's there, it has a purpose, and this is sort of very confirming to the possible explanation that I give in the book
mm-hmm.
that was given to me, that there was a deliberate intervention in planet Earth many, many hundreds of thousands of years ago, millions of years ago, that shut down, somehow altered the frequencies on the planet. And that's not too hard to imagine, really, when you look at how much electromagnetic pulsing and interference and satellites and the whole cage of electromagnetics that surround our planet now.
Yes, yes. I mean, there is definitely a grid, but it is weakening, and that's also important to understand because we are raising the frequencies, and there's not much that the Anunnaki can do about that.
That's right.
Can
and
you
that's
explain
very
who,
exciting.
Who are the Anunnaki in our present-day world? I mean, who are we talking about? Are they aliens? Are they humans? Are they psychopaths? Are they, what are they?
All of the above. Well, I do believe wholeheartedly that some of the powers that are in key positions on this planet, the Syrians talk about the top 2,000 of these beings are hybrids, and that is they have that reptilian blood in them, and they're also hybrids with humans.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't want to name names, but all you have to do is look at the TV and look in their little beady eyes, and I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. And you can see some of their unpleasant characteristics shining through. Or I shouldn't even use the word shining through.
Yeah.
Oozing through.
Yeah. Well, or you can just listen to my other programs. I just had David Icke on. And I'm sure
okay,
on your
well,
program, you. Too. He doesn't mind naming people. And I know you don't either, But what's the point? I mean,
no, I certainly
don't.
In fact, if you look at the books, I mean, I'm certainly out there enough that I've drawn plenty of attention from these guys. They do listen to and watch what I'm doing.
Yeah, exactly. they are watching. I think they're running scared at this point, which is the good news. And at any rate, there's a small percentage of psychopathic transnationals that are kind of using puppets around the world in leadership positions to create their new world order. And maybe you might want to explain what that means. What is this new world order?
Well, when did you have David Icke on?
Last 2 weeks ago.
Okay, so no doubt he really went into great lengths about it.
Yeah. Just briefly.
Basically.
Yeah,
go ahead.
The whole agenda seems to be towards a dominating the world from a central position, creating a centralized government where there'll be one world bank, one currency, one police, whatever.
Well, we pretty much have that already, don't we?
Yeah.
And
you know what?
I
mean, that's the beauty of these times. I mean, you can't go very far without seeing exactly what is going on now, because it's become very blatant. It used to be pretty covert.
Yeah, well, that's the good thing. The good thing is that it is out in the open, even though it can be scary. The world is still holding up despite all of these manipulations. So ever since 9/11 was concocted, and you can read what you want, I think it's pretty clear by now, even though I've been really saying that from the first day it occurred, that this was a very convenient situation, because whenever you have an event that is changing reality, the first thing you need to do is ask yourself, who benefits from this event?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get to the truth, instead of getting into the panic and fear, it's just like, okay, wait a minute, what's going on here? Who benefits from this event? And unquestionably, the cabal that rules the United States and, well, other countries that are involved in the leadership of the world had immediate power from that event.
Mm-hmm.
People were forced into fear. We gave up our civil rights in 24 hours. Homeland Protection Security went in, and before we know it, we had no more rights.
Yeah, it
the dream
was
of
it's
democracy
so quick.
Went down the toilet.
It's
and
almost
people continue to this day to talk about, as long as we're safer, it's a good thing.
Again, the power elite want to keep us in this survival mode and in fear and separation. And they've just done it again with a financial 9/11. I mean, it's quite obvious to most of the people who are awake. not to say that the others aren't awakening very quickly. I mean, I think that's the beauty of these times. We are just having a great awakening. What can I say? And then there is an even bigger awakening of the greater reality. So we're going to get to that, too, in a moment, Patricia. But first, I just want to let the audience know that we have been speaking to my guest, Patricia Corey, and she's written the Syrian Revelations, and she has also created I don't know if you still have a healing center and school in
no,
Rome?
Lightworks was in Rome. I had to close it because I couldn't do as much as I needed to do outside of Rome and still run it. So I closed Lightworks a while ago, and since then I've been pretty much traveling all over the planet except the United States. I'm not entering the United States at this time.
No wonder. I mean,
I just feel like I won't be getting out of the United States if I enter it. So for the time being, I'm keeping clear.
Yeah, no, I totally understand that. And you do some wonderful work in DNA activation and so forth, and with your world travels, I'm sure some fantastic work is happening. And maybe we can talk about Peru near the end of the show. But first, give your website so people can find out more about your tour groups and where you're going next.
Okay, well, the site is SyrianRevelations.net, but anyone who forgets that can just Google Patricia Corey, and quite a number of sites now will direct you to my site.
Okay.
And
where are you going
I'm
next?
Doing,
are you yeah. going anywhere next? Or
I'm really flying all over the place at the moment. I've just conducted this group of beautiful, really powerful, plugged-in light workers to Peru, and what's next? I'm going to Jordan in a few... Oh, I'm going to Quebec, October 18th. I'm giving a one-day workshop. Unfortunately, well, fortunately, it's sold out, but it'll be the first time I'm back in North America.
Uh-huh.
And after that, I'm going back to the Middle East, which is very exciting to know that people in that culture embrace my work. And then in January, I've got a trip to Egypt coming up. And then I'm going back to the Maya lands, working with shamans in March.
Wonderful.
I've well, had some pretty exciting things happening personally as well as for the people that come with me. So working with crystal skulls, working with shamans, and being embraced as, being actually embraced as a sister shaman by the Lokandon people.
You, now, speaking of crystal skulls, you really have done, especially that first book, Cosmos of Soul, really does address crystal skulls. You want to tell us, or I'm sorry, Atlantis does.
It was Atlantis.
Yeah, I get them confused. But
well, they kind of seem to flow in and out of each other, don't they?
Yeah. What about the crystal skulls? What are they about?
According to the Syrians, the human race at the second cycle of Atlantis, in that book they describe three major eras bridging over 100,000 years. I mean, we can't even imagine 10 years, so trying to imagine 100,000 years of a civilization is pretty mind-boggling. But at any rate, they break it down into three eras, and they say that in the second era, the Atlanteans were given 12 crystal skulls that were gifted to them from another dimension and given to them as a gigantic computer network to be viewing upon many layers or many dimensions of reality. And then when these 12 were assembled, brought together, a 13th master skull, a holographic image or a holographic skull, materialized in the center, and this was the completion of the computer network.
Now, has
so
that happened?
Working with,
Has that happened?
This happened in Atlantis.
Oh,
in the second era of Atlantis. And now the big question seems to be on everybody's mind now. It is in the Mayan prophecies that at the time of the great shift to the fifth consciousness, or the fifth sun, which is 2012, the Mayan prophecies say that these 12 skulls are going to come back together. And there's a lot of buzz about this. We've got the Mitchell Hodges skull touring now with its new guardian. And a lot of people are getting pretty hyped about skulls. In fact, although with me, I got my first crystal skull like 30 years ago, suddenly it's very in. People are becoming conscious of this. I think it's a subconscious memory surfacing, and people are just buzzing about the skulls. It's very exciting.
Well, and we had the Indiana Jones movie come out this last year.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. I just didn't want to break the illusion of Harrison Ford when he was a swashbuckling, gorgeous guy, and I didn't want to see this crystal skull information reduced to something really Hollywood-esque.
That Hollywood would.
But nonetheless, it serves because it is... stimulating people to recall on some very primordial level this memory. Because, as you know, everything is held in the cellular memory.
Yes.
Speaking well, and of memory, race, genetics, it's all there.
It's all there, and the star seeds, you know, from what the different races of extraterrestrial races that we come from and so forth. It's all there.
Yeah, and the council again tell us that the third strand of DNA, which is the primary work that I'm doing right now, even though there are people, you know, saying that they're activating 144,000 million trillion strands, my work is activating primarily that third one. This creates triangulation in the cells, in the nuclei of the cells, and gives resolution of that kind of duality or polarity by the nature of the geometry of three.
Mm.
And they say that that third strand is what connects you back to your starseed origin.
Mm. And is that connected to the heart, or how does that...
Yes.
Okay.
It's all connected. All the light strands are connected to the heart.
Mm. Well, so let's see. We are really advancing very rapidly, even though on the surface it looks like... we're collapsing very rapidly.
It looks like we're degressing rapidly.
Imploding. You know, not to buy into that, just know that this is a divine plan, and that's what really counts here. The greater reality really is what counts.
Well, when people, I'm sure, tell you that you're deluded and that your visions of a beautiful future are in the twilight zone, I always tell them that... the illusion of what's happening, it seems very real. It has to be. We need to break down the old structures. They don't work anymore. They never did.
Well, talk about the different, how we have been just sold this bill of goods, this illusion, through advertising and all sorts of things that have been done in the name of, you know, this... what can I say, secret government or power elite that want to keep us from really being the super race that we are.
Basically, we have existed throughout history, with the exception of a few moments of light, such as the Renaissance, as a self-distinguishing civilization. We're a civilization of war, especially the male population. It seems to be built into the testosterone that the expression of this hormone is attacking the other.
Well, and they're keeping us there through, again, this hypnotic suggestions that we get over and over again, keeping us in our three lower chakras and keeping us in, you know, that mentality of sex, money, and power and war.
There's no money in peace. There's no money in a higher tantric appreciation of the other. You know, it's hardcore sex, hardcore war that sells big time. And so until peace can be profitable, the leadership of this planet has no interest in it. And people need to understand that and stop being frustrated about the fact or buying into the idea that there could ever be the winning of a war. Because war is not intended to be won.
War perpetuates
occupy,
war.
Perpetuates.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, look at Iraq, when they were talking about we're going to go in there, and we're going to clean it out, and we're going to have victory. And they're still talking about victory. Meanwhile, they're building the biggest embassy and military structure in that country that's anywhere in the globe, the U.S.
Uh-huh.
is building, because the intent is occupation and remaining.
Mm-hmm.
But people still buy into that, you know,
we are sold,
so charming.
We're sold day after day through the media, and certainly people, you may want to really throw away your TVs. not necessarily, unless you
turn off the TV.
Yeah. I would definitely filter what you watch on the TV, and it's wonderfully explained in your book. No more secrets, no more lies. You go into how advertising is doing subliminal suggestions, and unless we're alert and, you know, take back our power, that really there's no free will anymore, because we are being hypnotized. Unfortunately, that's the result if you don't question it.
But the thing is, once you open your eyes, it can't happen. This is why I encourage people not to fear talking
yeah.
about the dark side, because once you open your eyes and you see it, it can't hurt you anymore. It can frustrate you, but it can't subliminally manipulate you. It's like once you see the sexual design embedded in an ad, once you see the chemtrails in the back of the in the screen of the movie, and you realize that you're being subliminally fed this image of the trails until you ignore them completely.
Mm.
All of this, once you see it, you can't stop seeing it. So you get a little bit crazy, but you can no longer be manipulated.
You know, it is interesting. Lately, we're being fed this financial catastrophe over and over again. And you just know that this is the way they've been doing things all along, that, you know, they talk you into it.
Well, again, you have to look at who profits. Whenever you've got events like this, you go follow the money line. Who profits from this? I mean, the United States government, all of these clowns that are supposedly representing us all voted in. Oh, we had a little skirmish, in fact, but in the end they voted in this bailout, which was supposed to be $700 billion. It's gone up to $900 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Who just manages these funds is very questionable. Where this money is allocated is very questionable. The money is going to come out of our pockets. The candidates are talking about cutting taxes, and nobody seems to be mentioning the fact that this $900 billion is going to be tax money that we have to pay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, it was a long time coming. I mean, I must say, you know, all of us who've been pretty much watching what's been going on have been saying, you know, it's the economy will collapse, but it will be according to when the power elite want it to collapse, and that's the interesting piece here. And of course, they make sure that they are going to benefit, obviously, from the collapse. And they just
Because they're the ones with the $900 billion taxpayer dollars with their little fingers on that money. Who is going to manage where that gets spent? Considering the abortion of behaviors that we've seen with monies that have been spent in war, i.e. Halliburton and their, you know, $295 screwdrivers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you're aware of that.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, I mean, we've had, you know, inside reports of how companies that profited from the war were doing these outrageous rip-offs with their pricing to the military. This is constantly. Halliburton was giving food to the same companies that were praising the war and our boys in the war, and they were giving them food that was rotten, the food that was past its expiration date, right?
Mm-hmm.
And charging, you know, the government outrageous fees for the service of this food. This is just the spoils of war, and we know that the buddies of the guys in power get the contract.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's happening with this bailout? Well, we already had AIG, which is the first one to get bailed out, and now we've seen, just coming across the Internet, they just got caught with a $400,000 ticket for executive buyout, bonuses, a big, huge party for their top execs in some ritzy spa.
They went on a junket on our money.
Yeah.
As soon as they got the money, it was amazing. They said, okay, let's party now.
You know, it's like, and it's always the people that have to come, you know, we have to struggle and we have to fight for our country and we have to tighten the belt to bring in merit and all of this patriotic language. Meanwhile, your ones that are getting the bucks are partying, laughing all the way. And this
mm-hmm.
is just unacceptable.
Well, and again, it becomes a caricature of, you know, it becomes, you can't even imagine it being any more ridiculous. It's just so ridiculous.
But the important thing is not to panic, not to change your lifestyle, not to run to the bank, not to buy into it.
Mm-hmm.
Live your life, live steadily, be clear what your objectives are. And by God, get out there and enjoy your life.
Well, and raise your frequency above it all. I mean, that basically is our job, is, you know, staying
exactly.
centered.
Well, someone just recently said to me, Patricia, aren't you concerned about the terrible situation? And I said, no, I've never saved any money, so I have nothing to worry about. But it does bring it home, you know.
Yeah.
Even my own brother sometimes, he says, how's your portfolio? And I said, my portfolio is pictures from the world. I have no portfolio. So
yeah.
I have nothing to worry about. And it's kind of interesting that people who have saved all their lives and have got this real methodical, almost anal approach to money management and retirement, whatever, are in the doghouse. And people like me who just, I don't want to say I live day to day, but I've really not put a lot of energy into that. I have no fear because I've got nothing to save, nothing to protect, nothing to lose.
Well, it is interesting because you do point out in Cosmos of Soul that the human race is tiring of the materialistic paradigm. And
yeah, well, we've got the great masters teaching us that we've got to let, you know, one of the great Buddhist principles is letting go of attachment.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more we understand that we've been given the guidance by masters who have come before us, we cling to these material things because they are an aspect of life as it's been designed by
mm-hmm.
those in power, but we really don't need all these things.
We can create a much healthier, sustainable system that...
Oh, I just came back from Peru, and my group, we had a day with a shaman, and his possessions are, you know, the wing of the condor. I mean, I don't mean to glorify this, because of course I do live in reality, but the point being, he was a model for what we really should be getting back to, which is being in touch with the land, being free of all these possessions. All they do is weigh us down. All we do lately is worry about holding on to them, and this is part of the process of ascension, where we're going to have to shake off these cling-on attachments.
Well,
has to go.
It's so beautiful that there's a series out now called Mad Men. I don't know if you've seen it. About
no.
advertising on Madison Avenue and how, you know, they are madmen, actually. But, you know, the whole concept that we are not enough is, and I think you even say it somewhere in your book about they're selling us through the marketing that we aren't enough. Who we
yes,
are
in
is
fact,
not
that's
enough.
That's a concept in the book, very powerfully presented, that basically as long as you believe that you're not enough, you will keep buying everything they shove down your face. Beauty, symbols of status, everything that would make you feel good enough. In fact, in my workshops, when I work with people, I ask them what their fear is, and 95% of the people don't say they fear financial collapse or death or suffering. They fear not being good enough or not being enough. And why? Because there has been a global campaign for centuries to make us feel that way, especially with the onset of television and advertising. We're not thin enough, we're not young enough, we're not beautiful enough, we're not rich enough,
mm-hmm.
we're not cool enough,
we're not
enough.
It's important to be shielding ourselves from the ads and from all these electronic devices. And let's just mention HARP and the cell towers that are these miniature HARPs that are going up all around us.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to say about that?
I'm still working on finding out how we can shield these antennas on personal levels. I do think that some very powerful people are working on providing or creating things like orgone generators to break down the chemtrails. There certainly is a way to block the effects of these towers. But nonetheless, they are everywhere. I don't know why people are so blind to them. But these are, you know, we can't possibly need all these towers for cell phones.
Well, and talking about...
they are emitting all kinds of subtle energy waves.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that the conscious mind, the power of the mind, can block anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very much more important than it has been before to work on that auric field before you exit the house, before you go to bed at night.
Mm-hmm.
Work on creating a very powerful shield around you, and I think you can block anything out.
Good point. And how about the food?
We don't take enough care of that, of our own auric field, our own generi, energy, vital field, consciously.
It's essential to know.
As I always talk about this in my workshop, you take, in the morning, you do your teeth, you brush your hair, you clean your armpits, you take a shower, put on makeup. All of this takes an hour, but it only takes 2 or 3 minutes to fortify your auric field, and we don't do it. We're lazy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There really is some important chakra energy work that one must do every day, I would say. It's like literally taking a shower. It's the same thing with cleansing your auric field.
And the thing is, again, most people are, you know, doing all of that stuff at the physical level.
Yeah, yeah.
Physically clean, shower, perfume, makeup, whatever. But they're not going to a deeper level and saying, let me be sure that when I walk out the door, I'm completely surrounded in light. And, I mean, it sounds trite sometimes, but if you're working, in my experience, I can't afford to go out that door unless I'm completely sure that I've done that work, because there's a lot coming at me.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and I work a lot on the Internet, and, again, shielding is so essential for any of that, so if you're working with electromagnetic devices. But, yeah, just going out and you know, I mean, we are pretty outspoken on BBS radio. What can I say? We are cutting edge for sure. And just learning how to protect ourselves, and that we do have a whole team of light helping us. So that's the good news, is we are
plus
protected.
I always tell people I'm an offensive defensive, meaning nothing is going to stop me. I'm out there saying what I can, trying to make a difference. So my focus isn't on protecting myself and holding back. However, there's a lot to confront out there. So the more work I can do on a very determined, focused, spiritual level, the better things are.
Well, and I thought it was...
another thing is, you're not helping anyone if you're not a symbol of light and strength and power.
Yes, yeah. And that you can speak and do it with some sense of being protected. So, and this is interesting. You wrote about the solar flares as helping to disrupt the surveillance that's been going on.
Yes.
It's interesting. We are being protected in so many different ways. And since we have HAARP and we have the other, GPS and surveillances going on, these solar flares are working in our favor.
Well, the book No More Secrets goes into an elaborate, is it No More Secrets or Atlantis? I'm getting confused now. Atlantis.
I think it was Atlantis, yeah.
Yeah, I've got to remember my own book, so I'm in trouble. It describes the sun as being a conscious being, and that we, despite how things appear here, everything is in divine order in the universe. And the sun, preparing to go through this ascension process, is throwing off a lot more energy, and that energy is disrupting all of these devices that the powers that be are trying to put in place on the planet. It's almost funny if you think about it, because they are not able to understand the divinity,
mm-hmm.
the divinity of the planet, of the planetary beings, the divinity of the sun. Everything is mechanics to them, so they can't understand
mm-hmm.
the conscious involvement of the sun in the evolution of our planet.
And that we are destined to go from the darkness to the light. I mean, that is the ascension process is a absolute. I mean, there is just no way around it, no matter who you are.
And I want to also remind the audience that we aren't in the darkness. The day is beautiful. The sun shines. There are beautiful people everywhere. The birds sing. Let's not lose our focus of enjoying everything that is here for us every day, every moment.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not buy into the idea that we're in the darkness. We're not.
Mm-hmm. And that the New World Order can be something beautiful. It can be paradise on Earth, actually.
Well, as I always say, although I choke on the word, we have to love George Bush. And people say, "Gack, why do you say that?" And they're expecting me to say, because we must love each other in order to raise the vibration. But my answer is because he's bad enough to wake us up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we've got to love him for that.
And what I mean by a new world order, it doesn't have to be the one that the psychopaths have planned. In other words, it can
That's
be
right.
The divine new world. So
yeah, I like to think of it as a new world awakening. Rather, that word order just sends a chill down my vein.
right, new
it's
world
kind of
paradise.
Their expression, you know.
Well, I like the idea of a golden age. I think that it expresses it too. So,
but when people are struggling with how can you be, you know, come out with all this positive mumbo jumbo, I like to remind them that this disharmony that we are experiencing now is orchestrated. It's not the crashing. It's not the end. It's simply orchestrated manipulation to get people into powerlessness, and they keep pushing us to see how much we're going to give them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We gave them in 24 hours the Homeland Security. 24 hours later, we were willing to give up our houses. 24 more, they could quarantine us if we got sick. And everybody's just nodding, going, "Oh yes, if it's going to make me safer." Mm-hmm. And this concept of them, of the power being your guardian, has stripped people of so much power. And now here we go with the money.
Yeah.
Well, if they bail us out, you know, if it'll help middle limit. They've been using the expression, what is it, Wall Street and Main Street? I love this.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to, it's a dynamic of polarity again. You know, we're
yeah.
going to help
yeah.
Wall Street, we're going to help Main Street. And
yeah, they
it's
like,
so ridiculous.
They like
but
to divide.
People buying into this, too.
Yeah, they like to divide. That's how they
I mean,
work.
Where was the human race when they came up with this immediate bailout, which was supposed to be $700 billion, and the next day was $900 billion. Hello? Who authorized the additional $200 billion, and whose pocket is that going into?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
people are just like, well, if it'll help stop the, you know, the crisis. And so they just keep pushing and pushing until we reach absorption level.
Well, I encourage people to go to your website, and why don't you give that again, Pat?
Yeah, it's www.syrianrevelations.net. There's a lot on the site. I've also got a link called Human Voice, where there are a number of different articles about what's going on. There's quite a lot of information on this site. Keep people's minds activated. And, of course, there's a lot of information about the books and my programs, which are going really, really well.
Wonderful.
Not home much.
Well, that's a good sign that people are buying.
Yeah.
It's such important information. And again, people, you've been listening to Patricia Corey on Carrie Elle's Heartlink Show. And it's been such a pleasure, Patricia. And I'm just going to close with this wonderful quote from your book. Your fearless voice is the flute that will lead the lost and misguided out of the maze. And that's that fearless voice we all must be using now. It is time. And so just step up, people, and you know when it's time, when it's right for you to come forward and stay in your center and keep listening to my radio shows as well as Patricia's radio shows. And next time on Carrie Elle's Heartlink, I'll be interviewing, actually I have two shows on the 22nd of October. In the morning, I'll be interviewing Lynn McTaggart, And she's done this wonderful intention experiment. And then in the afternoon, I'll be interviewing Janine Just, who is going to be speaking about the storm, which is pretty much kind of describes what we've been going through lately. And again, thank you, Patricia, for being on my show.
Thank you. And I would like to close with just reminding everybody to be the light they want the world to be.
I love it. I love it. And again, I want to thank BBS Radio for allowing us to have shows that expand our consciousness. And please do go to my website, heartlinkinstitute.com. I'm Carrie L. And thank you for listening. I'm so glad that we've been able to connect and broaden our horizons toward more freedom, light, and love. And have a great day. Bye-bye.